And I always get messages from the Lord. I read my Bible. I'm going to read it daily reading, and in the morning. God always get. I mean, it's just amazing. Every week I get 4, 5, 10, 15 sometimes messages, and just read my Bible. It's just amazing how good it is and how much you can get out of that thing. And most of my messages are usually go over a periods of months. The Lord gives me a message, and it kind of goes in the queue. And then it stews a while, and then it brews a while. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost of God trues it up, and He glues it up, and I bring it to the pew to you. So it goes from the pew to the pew to you. Amen? Amen. And most of my messages, it's rare that I ever get a message this week that I give to you. Most of them are years or months. Months, most of them. Some of them go back years that I've worked on this message and work on this message. And finally, you get it. And I went back and looked as I was getting this message that I preached at this church, 371 different messages. And of all those 371 of them, maybe three or four came that week. Most of the messages are a period of time. Yeah. And brother, you know what I'm talking about. Preachers know what I'm talking about. They don't come all to you. You spend a lot of time on that message in your mind, driving down the road, on the treadmill, on the swing, and every week I got a message on my heart that I want to preach. Every week I've got three or four, and through the week I'm working on those messages, and they go back months. I had one I thought for sure I had in the holster, Brother Bob, and I thought that was all I preached today. But this week I was reading Colossians chapter 2, and God gave me a verse there, and I've read it hundreds of times, and I couldn't shake that thing. I had these other messages I was working on that I was planning on. The Lord kept saying, go back over here. Go back over here. Because normally I like to spend a little bit more time on them. But this one, God just wouldn't let me shake it off for some reason. And so I'm going to give it to you. And I enjoy preaching, by the way. I love it. And most of my preaching is not up here, by the way. Most of my preaching's in the shower. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? Most of my preaching's dry. I've led a lot of cars to the Lord away. Most of my preaching is sitting on the porch out there with my dog trying to get her to get right with God. It don't work. I preach a lot. This is just a small portion of it. And God gives you that message and crews and it strews and it brews it and God glues it and trues it and it comes out to you. Colossians chapter 2. The Bible's got a lot of great words in it. I got some books at the house. And I started to bring them, but I had a bunch of other books. Didn't have room. But a lot of our sayings come from your King James Bible. Did you know that? I got a book at home that's called Where Did That Come From? By a guy named a friend of mine, Danny Doggie. He wrote this. Got thousands of sayings come out of your King James Bible. And I got one called Begotten by a guy named David Crystal, who's a well world-renowned author who goes in and traces the English language from the King James Bible. And you take the word, you see sign that says, beware of dogs. That's out of Philippians. Where it come from. You ever heard somebody say, liar, liar, pants on fire? That's Revelation chapter 20, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's where it comes from. Thousands and thousands of our sayings talks about, you know, he's eating a sour grape. That's out of your Bible. Said he set his face like a flint. That's out of your Bible. I mean, all throughout the Bible, there's thousands and thousands that come through. And I was reading this one this week, and this verse hit me, and it has one of the sayings that we hear all the time. And turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, Colossians 2, 8, beware that any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Every one of these verses are 10 messages, by the way. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God in the flesh. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's that spiritual circumcision. When you got saved, God came in there and separated that spirit and that soul from that flesh so you wouldn't have to serve the flesh. That's why you can have victory over that. That's what he's talking about. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And I like those words that kind of grabbed me this week, nailing it to his cross. You know how we say it? You know the saying we have there? They'll say, man, he nailed it. Where it come from right there. That's what it's talking about. I seen a football game the other night, Brother Ben, and the guy, he kicked a 55-yard field goal, and he got back there, and bam, and the announcer said, boy, he nailed it, didn't he? I said, that guy's quoting Bible, he don't even know it. We hear it all, that's where it come from right there. It said he took all that stuff out of the way, and he nailed it to his cross. And we say, he nailed it. You know what that means? And I look it up, dictionary, Urban Dictionary. It means that somebody did something that was extraordinary. When they say he nailed that field, that means he did something he don't normally do. That means he completed the task. That means he was very successful. And I just want to preach a few minutes this morning. And my message, Brother Bob, it's called, he nailed it.
Amen.
He nailed it this morning. And ask Brother Jeff to take us to the Lord in prayer before the message.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day. I thank you, Lord, for giving us this good God. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for dying for us.
Amen.
Lord, to let us fall
and help you. Amen, amen.
God, I just ask, Lord, I pray God for people that are hurting here today.
Amen. Take your Bible, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I want to say he nailed it this morning. He nailed it. Galatians chapter 6, I could quote it for you, but I want you to look at this verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says this. Paul's writing, and he says this, but God forbid that I should glory. Amen. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto it. And I want to say, first of all, Jesus Christ, he nailed the world to the cross. He nailed it, brother. Paul said, the thing that I glory in is that cross of Jesus Christ. He said, this world has been crucified to me, because he nailed it to the cross. You know what gets me excited? The cross of Jesus Christ. You know what gets me excited is to come to church and hear the singing. And it gets me excited. When I walk out that door, I immediately turn into Dullesville right then. My wife can vouch. She'll say, boy, you're different when you get to church. When I'm at home, I'm like, it doesn't interest me that much. She'll start talking about something and she's kind of excited about it. I'll say, so? let's talk about the Lord a little bit. Amen. Paul said, the thing that I get excited about and the thing that I glorify is the cross of Jesus Christ. And he said, he crucified that world unto me. Brother, when I got saved, Brother Bob, that old world just disappeared from me. And he nailed it to the cross. Thursday night, we have a good time, don't we? We have a good time. Now, we all wore out when we come in. Especially all of us at work, you know, during the week. And I'm dragging in here, man. And man, we got here Thursday night, and boy, it got on, didn't it? Woo! I'm telling you, man. I didn't know what was going on there for a while, but boy, it got good. You know what we did Thursday night? We just sang Fanny Crosby songs. Y'all remember that? I said, let's just stay with her for a little while. And boy, it got good. Miss Martha was sitting right there. And she jumped from here all the way over those pews and landed here on one foot. Ran around the building, Brother Curtis, with that hanky, woo! Miss Carol, my word, she is turning cartwheels and somersaults down the aisle. I mean, son, it was something else. I mean, it was good Thursday night. You say you're exaggerating a little bit, maybe a little bit, but I'm going to tell you inside that's what we were doing, amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we were doing. Brother Jeff, he said Thursday night, he said, you know, boy, I came in this building, I was wore out. I'm so tired. But he said, once I get in there, man, it sure does feel good. You say, why? Because he nailed it, brother. He nailed this old world to the cross. Old Brother Bunk, he came in. I love Brother Bunk. Brother Bunk's excited right now. I don't know where he's at today. We're going to have to go hunt him up, I guess, again. But he came in late Thursday. No, he didn't. Was it late? I know he was wore out. Brother Jeff said he sure is tired. You could tell he was just right over there sitting. He was like, yeah. That's the way I was on the way down. I was a piece of toast. I was toast coming in, man. I got down here and we got singing and God put me in his little toaster and I came out like a Pop-Tart after a while. I mean, man, I was ready to get rid of it on after a while.
Amen. Amen.
Old Brother Bunk, he was wore out. Thursday nights, usually Brother Bunk preaches us some messages, don't he? He'll say, preacher, can I have a pop-up? He's excited about something, got him a message. He'll get going, Brother Bob. You got to see him. He'll have to get up here sometimes. And he gets running around and going at it. And me and Brother Jeff, we have to go, come on, come on now, come on, come on, come on. And boy, he gets going louder and gets going. Thursday night, I said, Brother Bunk, you got a pop-up? He said, preacher, I'm too tired tonight. I don't think I got a pop-up. And he started singing a few minutes. Y'all know what happened. He sang a few minutes. He said, well, preacher, I think I got something I'd like to say. Amen. And he gave us two or three pop-ups before he got going. He left. He said, you know, I came in tired, but he said, I believe I could just run home right now. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, he nailed that world to the cross. Like Paul said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross. You know what gets me excited? That cross. You know what gets me bored? That old world. It's a joke, man. He nailed it. He nailed the world to his cross. That song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures, Lord, they live somewhere beyond the blue. My heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Brother, if you've been saved very long, that ought to be your song too. Because he nailed this world. He nailed it. He nailed it. Over in Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17, they're talking about the apostles, verse 3, and it said that they were preaching that Christ must needs be suffered and then risen again from the dead, and that it's Jesus whom you preach unto you is Christ. And they took him and beat him. You know what happened? And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, saying, these are they that have turned the world upside down. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he turned this old stinking world upside down, is what he did. He nailed it. You take your date. You know what today is? 2016 A.D. You know what A.D. stands for? The Anti-Domini Latin, the year of the Lord. And it stands for the after death of Jesus Christ. Everything else is B.C. before Christ. You say, well, you say, I'm going to tell you that cross was such a big deal in the history of the world. They changed the whole world. They said, hey, let's start this thing all over, man. You say, well, he nailed it to the cross. He nailed this whole world to the cross. Thank God, amen. Because this place is a mess. It's a mess. He nailed the world to the cross. He nailed it. Not only that, take your Bible, turn it over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He nailed it. I don't see how people survive without the Lord. Reading some of that junk this morning in the news, the world's gone mad, man. It's a mess. They don't even know what bathroom to go to anymore. I remember I saw a joke years ago when I was a kid. We thought it was really funny. And it was an application, you know. And one of the questions, it went down there and it said, your sex, male or female? And it had in parentheses, no fair peeking. Nowadays, they can't even peek at those. They don't know anymore. They don't know what's going on. I thank God He nailed this world to the cross. Not only that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, thank God, amen. Baptism, not the gospel. There goes the church of Christ, right down the toilet. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Baptism's not the gospel. But with wisdom of words, not with wisdom of words, for the preaching of the cross shouldn't be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross of them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the spirit of this world? Hath God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Verse 21, for after the wisdom of the world, by the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to say, He nailed the wisdom of this world to the cross. I mean, the world looks at me and you. You put a lost person in here today, Mandy. See this old nut running around sweating, screaming at you. I'd say, man, that place is a bunch of fools right there. I mean, you take the world and they come in here, you put half the world in here and sit in one of our services like Thursday night, they'd think we just gone crazy mad. Because He nailed the wisdom of this world to that cross. They can't understand it, Brother Bob. They can't understand the cross. It says, the preaching of the cross of them that perish, it's foolishness. God made it that way. And when the preaching of the cross loses its foolishness, Brother Bob, it'll lose its effectiveness. He nailed the wisdom of this world to the cross. This world can't understand it. They'll never figure it out. I remember before I got saved, man, I'd go by churches and I think, Brother Curtis, I was a professing atheist, man. And I'd go by, ride by some of them, thank Brother Bob, and I'd think, I wonder what they do in that place. That's a spooky place. I'd go anywhere. I'd go a haunted house, but you wasn't going to get me no church. I mean, the world don't understand it. I mean, the wisdom of this world is put to foolishness before the Lord. And man, I'd go by those churches and I knew people went and I thought, man, that's a strange place people walking in that place. And I'm going to tell you, to the world, when God nailed it on the cross, He nailed the wisdom of this world with Him. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which are lost. They still don't know what happened to Brother Bob Smith. How long you been saved, Brother Bob?
About 52 years.
52 years. And I bet a lot of his friends right now still don't believe he got saved. His own family. I remember talking to Brother Larry Cooper in the hospital right before God took him home. I was laying up there and he was telling me about growing up and all those people. He started laughing to me. He said, Brother Terry, he said, they're still back there. They still don't think I got saved. And they're still back there thinking, I'm going to go back there like the old Larry.
That's right.
You say, why? The world and the wisdom of the world, they can't understand this. He nailed it. He nailed it to the cross. I'm going to tell you, if nobody's called you crazy for the Lord, you need to come down today and get right with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Bob? Paul stood there before Felix. And you take old Paul, he was set under the feet of Gamaliel. He is a famous man of his day. He is a wealthy man. He had a lot of things going for him. And he gave it up for the cross. Stood before Felix that day. And he said, Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself, is what he said. What was Paul telling about? The cross. He said, Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Thy great learning doth driven thee mad. Listen, brother, the world can't understand it. The wisdom of the world can't understand it because he nailed it to the cross. And they'll never understand it. Some of your kin folks right now, they probably think you're a looney tune like some of mine. If they don't, something's wrong, amen? He nailed the wisdom of this world to the cross. Heard about a man got saved one time. He got up in years, Brother Bob. Saw one of his friends that he hadn't talked to in quite a few years, and I've had this happen. One of his friends said, "Hi, I heard about you, man." He said, "What happened?" He said, "I heard you went mad over religion." That's what they said about me. They said I overdosed, you know. They said, you gone mad over religion. He said, "Well, if I've gone mad, I've got Jesus Christ for the warden and heaven for my insane asylum." He says, "Well, I'll just go along with you right there." Amen. Listen, if you want to say I'm mad, you want to say I'm a nut, listen, I'm hanging off the right tree, brother. He nailed it. He nailed the wisdom of this world. We had our family day here last Sunday, and my two brothers came. And they know me. Say they don't know this. I told brothers each. The brother Brian was talking. We was walking the other day, and he was saying, "I can't imagine you before you were saved, some of those things." And I said, "You know what? It's just the opposite with my brothers. They can't imagine me up here. They think of me as the old dope head." After I got through, my little brother, he's heard me 3 or 4 times preach now. And he said, he was about to cry. And he said, "You know, every time I hear you preach," he said, "I just want to sit there and cry. I just can't believe that's you up there." My older brother, he said, "You know one thing? I'll say if anybody in this earth got saved, it was you." You say, "What? I can't understand what happened to that dope head. Where'd he go?" He nailed the wisdom of this world to the cross, brother. I mean, listen, 42 years ago, Brother Bob, if you'd have told me the day before I got saved, one day, Brother Curtis, I'd be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and writing tracts, I'd have pulled out my gun and shot you right there. That'd have been the worst thing you could ever told me. And God reached down there and saved my soul. And man, I love every minute of it. Amazing what God would do. Could I just say this morning, He nailed it. He nailed the world. He nailed the wisdom of the world. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I got a bunch of points this morning. I might just preach half this morning, half tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Watch it. "For he is our peace, and hath broken, hath made one, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity." That means the enemy. "The enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and having might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." He nailed the wall of partition between us on that old cross. He nailed the wall of religion. He nailed the wall of the commandments, Brother Bob. That's what it says. He nailed the ordinances. He nailed the good works. He nailed the sacraments. He nailed all that tradition. He nailed it, brother, to that cross. Amen. Amen. I was out visiting, I don't know, Brother Anthony was with me or Brother Brian. A few weeks ago, I think it might have been Brother Brian. We knocked on the door and talked to one guy. We reached out to give him one. He said, "Well, I'll be honest with you." He said, "I'm not a religious person." You know what I told him, Brother Bob? I said, "Praise the Lord, Brother Shake. I'm not either. I don't like religion. I don't have anything to do with it. I got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." You know what religion do? It'll send you straight to hell like a bullet. A religious, "Do this, do that, do that." I want to tell you, he nailed it on the wall. He nailed the wall of all that to the old cross.
Amen.
Put it down. You ever read over in Luke? Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. Oh, this is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. He nailed the wall. He nailed the wall of religion and tradition and doctrine and man-made denomination. He nailed it all that day. Luke 23. give you a little bit about one of my heroes of the Bible. One of my heroes of the Bible, Brother Bob, he's a thief. I got a bunch of messages about that old guy. I think he's one of the greatest Bible teachers in the whole Bible. He's a thief. I got a message on a lesson from a thief. Look at Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And that dying thief on the cross, he looks over there, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Bible says, And Jesus said unto him, Go join the local Baptist church and you can make it. That's what the Baptist writers teach. That's what they teach. If you're not a member of the local Baptist church, you're not a member of the bride. Woo. He looked over there. He said, Jesus said unto him, He said, Repent, confess, and be baptized, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Is that what he said? That's what the Church of Christ said, isn't it? He looked over to him, he said, and Jesus said unto him, If you're one of the 144,000, you can make it. That's what the JWs teach. That's what they teach. He looked at him, Jesus said, Okay, if you were elected and predestinated and conformed and drawn by the Holy Ghost before the world began, then you're okay. That's what the Calvinists teach. Now he looked at him, he said, If you're born in the planet Koloff and your dad was Eloi and you could have millions and millions of babies, you might make it. That's what the Mormons teach. You know what Jesus said? Jesus saith unto him, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I like to say this morning, he nailed it, brother. I'm so glad God put that in there. Brother, that took every heresy, every denomination, every little wicked self-satisfying, self-righteous teacher and flushed it down the toilet right there. He looked at the old thief dying on the cross, hanging right there. He said, Lord, you remember me when you come to the kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He nailed it. Brother, he nailed it. He nailed the wall. He nailed the world, the wisdom of the world. I'm going to give you one more. I want to say this morning, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. He nailed it, brethren. I'm telling you, he nailed it to his cross. He nailed this world. This old world, man, when I got saved, I was a worldly guy, man. I was part of the hippie movement, you know. We come up through that thing, you know, far out and groovy and make love, not war, dude. All that stuff, you know. We didn't know what we were doing. But that's where I grew up, you know. But we were worldly. You know, but when I got saved, I'm 61 now, man. This old world to me, it's just going out there. I need to take a barf bag with me every time I go out there just about, don't you? I mean, God just nailed it to the cross. He nailed the wisdom of this world. He nailed the wall of all the religion right to the cross. I mean, literally, he's on the cross getting that dying thief saved. I'm so glad he put that in there, Brother Bob. I'm telling you, that dying thief, he leveled the ground, didn't he? That guy's a great Bible scholar, as far as I'm concerned. He knew what to do. He looked over there. You know the new Bibles take that word Lord out. They put Jesus. You know what got him saved? Was that Lord. That's what did. All the new Bibles say Jesus. That's not what he said. He said Lord. That's what did the trick. Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. He not only that, look at Romans chapter 6. He nailed the world, the wisdom of the world. He nailed the wall. Not only that, Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, For the wages of sin is death. He nailed the wages of sin to his cross. I want to tell you, brother, he nailed it that day.
He didn't just nail our sins to the cross. He went a whole lot further than that. He nailed the wages and everything that went with it on this cross. You know what the word wages means? It means something you get recompense for something you do. And the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He nailed the wages of sin, death, on the cross. And He nailed the wages of sin in separation. Do you remember what happened? One of the wages of sin that we brought into us when Adam sinned. You know what happened in the Garden of Eden? The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. And after they ate of the fruit, the Bible, you know what it immediately says? It said they hid themselves amongst the trees from the presence of the Lord. They couldn't fellowship no more. The wages of sin had taken place. And one of those wages of sin was a separation from God. And He said, Adam, that's the first visitation program in the Bible. By the way, God's looking for men. And He said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I hid myself. He said, I was afraid. He wasn't afraid before. Sin had come in. The wages of sin had separated God and man. And that's just the way you were before you got saved, Brother Bob. I didn't want anything to do with God. I was scared to death of going to church. That scared me. But I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, He nailed the wages of sin to that cross. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. And get Ephesians chapter 2 where you were at. I want to tell you, brethren, He nailed this world. He nailed the wisdom of this world. He nailed the wall of every little religion, little trinket, every little teaching. I'm a Bible believer, by the way. I don't care what the church says. I stick with the book.
Amen.
Amen. And that old dying thief looks over and said, Lord, remember me when I come into that kingdom. I asked the Church of Christ about that one time. You know what he told me? He said, well, it didn't say he didn't get baptized. I like what Dr. Ruggman said one time. He said it didn't say he shot his mother-in-law with a .38 either, so that mean he did it? I mean, it's crazy. That old dying thief, they can't get away from him, can they? When I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, and you've been with me, some of you, I try to make that thing as simple as that dying thief on the cross. That's how simple it was. He nailed the wages of sin. What are those wages He nails? That separation between you and God, me and you and God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. I love this. And having made peace, look at it, Colossians 1, 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him, Himself, by Him I say, whether it be things of earth and things in heaven. Verse 22, verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death, watch this, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Brother, that ought to make a whisk of pain shout right there, Brother Bob. That ought to make a Southern Baptist get excited, maybe. I mean, that verse says, brother, when He died on that cross, He made you unblameable. He put you and reconciled you with God. And now, brother, I'm no longer separated. I come to this church, I can't wait to get here. Sunday ought to be every day. Ought to be every day. That's what it'll be like in heaven. I like to get around and sing and shout and enjoy the presence of God. I love to walk around and pass out tracts and tell people about my wonderful Lord. You say, why? As separation, no wages of sin, He nailed it to the cross. Not only that separation, I'll tell you something else, He nailed the wages. You know what another wages of sin is? Jesus said one time, He said, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. Before I got saved, all I knew how to do was sin, Brother Bob. I was good at it too. I was good at it. I mean, man, I did whatever I wanted to. The bigger the sin, the greater the sin, the better. And I didn't have any control over it, pretty much. You know what? When I got saved, the Bible says over in John chapter 7, if the Son shall make you free. Next verse says, you shall be free indeed. When He nailed it on the cross, He nailed the wages of sin. Everything that went in it. He not only nailed the wages of separation and the wages of servant. You know something else He nailed the wages, Brother Anthony? He nailed the shadow of sin. You know what He said over there one time? He said, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to put them in the deepest ocean. I got a message on that. You know, we know more about Mars and Saturn than we do parts of the ocean. That ocean is so deep and it's so dark and there's so much pressure to it. Man, with all their inventions and spaceships, they can't even go down there. God, the Lord said, that's where I'm going to put those sins, brother. They won't even be a shadow of it. You know, they don't have a shadow. It's totally dark. He said the darkest thing on this earth is those depths of the ocean. He said one time, two times over in the book of Hebrews, you know what he said? Brother Bob, he said, I'm going to remember those sins and iniquities no more. No more. You know what he did? He nailed it, brother.
Yes, he did.
Amen. He nailed it. That song my wife sung, I asked her to sing it this morning. I love that song. Oh, the shame of it. That day they crucified Him, my sins were to blame. Oh, forgive them, Lord, I pray. When they drove nails, screwed nails through His body, He was nailing my sins to His cross. I'd like to say this morning, my friend, He nailed it. He nailed it. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I may give you more of that tonight. We'll see. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning, Lord, for the cross of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank You, Father, for that great verse over there, Lord, nailing it to His cross. Thank You, Lord, we don't have to work for our salvation. Thank You, Lord.